you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, amen, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. On that day you will ask in my name, and I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have come to believe that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now on day 3 of the Decennarium of the Holy Spirit, which is far more than a novena, in which, like most people do novenas, they do everything else they normally do, and then they'll add a prayer to the Immaculate Conception or add a prayer to the Holy Spirit. This time period is far more like a retreat, being led by the Holy Spirit and by the Blessed Virgin Mary to help us to receive what God wants to give us and to learn how to respond as Our Lady does. It's a time in which we are being helped to grow in our correspondence to the gift of the Holy Spirit and the way the Holy Spirit wants to bring us into the very life of God. To understand a little bit of that growth, we can see this beautiful passage from today's first reading with Apollos. Apollos came from Alexandria. Alexandria was, as I prepared to go back to Massachusetts today for my 25th anniversary from Harvard, the Harvard and the Cambridge and the Oxford, and I dare say even the Yale and the Stanford and the Duke and the Rice of the ancient world. It was the great learning center, the great library there. Athens had already, in a sense, passed. It was 100 years past its glory days. And he grew there as a Jew in a Greek-speaking place. Not only was there the library, he had the 70 scholars who had gotten together a few centuries prior to create the Septuagint. And then there was the whole school of interpretation, epitomized by Philo, which was the allegorical school of interpretation, seeing that everything throughout the Old Testament was pointing as an extended parable, that's what an allegory is, to the Messiah who would come. And then out of this extraordinarily eloquent speaker arrives in Ephesus. He'd received the baptism of John, pointing to Jesus, pointing to the need for the forgiveness of sin, but yet he hadn't been baptized according to water and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said we would need to be. But he had received the baptism of John because he knew that the Lamb of God was coming. And so he was able to speak powerfully about what that meant from all God had prepared in the Old Testament, because everything was pointing to the Messiah. He was an authority on the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and with fire, ardent spirit, spoke and taught accurately about Jesus. But it was still not enough. All his gifts, all his accuracy were not enough. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, this married couple, speaking boldly in the synagogue, they took him to the side and explained the way of God to him more accurately. This passage from accurate to more accurate, this following much more deeply in the way, it's what the Holy Spirit himself wants to do with us in this annual retreat. The gift of knowledge, the gift of understanding at the front of those gifts is an extraordinary offering that he gives us each year. Let's look at a few things with regard to this. First thing we have to grasp is that Christianity is not a classroom. Christianity is an exodus, it's a pilgrimage, it's a journey. Jesus never says, take good notes. He says, follow me. Because it's always practical. It's not those who know who are saved in terms of intellectual knowledge. It's those who know in terms of personal knowledge, that have an interior communion, and this is eternal life, that you know the Father and the one that he has sent. Know in a biblical way, know in a sense of communion. It doesn't define what Priscilla and Aquila explained to Apollos in order to help him grow to greater accuracy. But I believe, based on the context, that he knew only the baptism of John, that he hadn't yet received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that what they were really doing is taking him from what he knew to a deeper agency, to a far greater openness to what God himself was doing. To see, for example, that the faith was not a faciam but a fiat, not I will do, but rather a let it be done to me, of all that God himself was giving precisely in order to help us follow on that way, rather than focusing so much on our own efforts. It's the first thing we see about that growth in Apollo's life, in Paulus' life, and also what God wants to do in us. The second is that God sends us many Priscillas and Aquilas in our life. We can think, perhaps, of our parents or our grandparents. We can think about godparents. We can think about catechists. We can think about those who taught us to make the sign of the cross, whose example inspired us to receive Holy Communion with greater purity and devotion, who prayed the rosary with us even when we stumbled, who gave us the witness of genuine charity even when it hurt. We have all been blessed with many Priscilla and Aquilas. We see in them that they hadn't come from ancient Alexandria. God reveals his wisdom not to the clever of the world, but to those who are truly childlike, those who are receptive. And even though in IQ and eloquence and several of the standards that are most prized in the world, Apollos would have been far greater than Priscilla and Aquila, they were able to help him grow to greater accuracy in following Jesus along the way. What a beautiful lesson that is. I think about when Lark Ordeer, the greatest preacher of the 19th century anywhere, probably one of the two most famous preachers in the history of France, when he went through the extraordinarily difficult thing of getting to Ars, trying to stay incognito, hiding his white habit as you're jumping through mud, because that's what the journey would be. You'd take the train to Lyon, and then you'd get on these carts led by mules and horses, and then they'd let you off at the side of the stream, and then you'd go out. But eventually, the great Lark Ordeer shows up in the tiny little church of St. Sixtus. And Vianney had heard that he was staying at the Chatelaine's house, and he just couldn't believe it. And then when Lark Ordeer came, he said, what is going on? The one who was most eloquent comes to the worst preacher in France. And he actually met it. And Lark Ordeer was there, and he felt, John Vianney felt trembling a little bit as he ascended the pulpit, and he preached for an hour as he ordinarily would with his very high-pitched voice. But then afterward, when Lark Ordeer went to do a little thing for the clergy of the region, all the other pastors were kind of joking, that must have been quite an experience, you going to hear Vianney. And Lark Ordeer spoke up with all his eloquence and said, two things. First, he preached as a good pastor should. And second, He said something in his homily that I've been struggling with my entire priesthood about the Holy Spirit, and he explained it in such great clarity, and I have been extraordinarily helped. We all have Priscillas and Aquilas, and we today need to be grateful for them. The third thing we see here in terms of the growth that the Holy Spirit wants to give in us is he wants to help us from above to become Priscillas and Aquilas to everything. Mother Agnes has much to learn from you. Sister Magdalene has much to learn from you. I have so much to learn from you. Cardinal Dolan has so much to learn from all of us. Pope Francis has so much to learn from all of us. We have to learn from them too. But at the same point, the Lord wants to use us in order to be able to communicate to others something about a greater accuracy in the way. Not in toto and completion, but there are certain aspects that we get better than others. There are many aspects that we live better than others. And one of the most beautiful things about this communion in the church is that all of us are called to help others. So we should never merely be, this person's here up above me and I'm below, as if it's just going to be a one-way street of receptivity. The Holy Spirit wants to help us, even in our humility, even in our childlike simplicity, to be able to help those who, in worldly or even ecclesiastical eyes, seem to be much higher. We learn this, for example, from Our Lady, whom we mark on Saturday. Our Lady herself was not the most learned Jew, but every single Christian who has ever lived, even the Thomas Aquinas's and the Francis de Sales of the world, have so much to learn from her. St. Joseph taught Jesus according to his humanity. As Pope Benedict said in Cameroon back in 2007, he shows us so clearly what it means that an inferior sometimes is placed in a position of authority over a superior, but that God's going to help us to fulfill that mission. We're all called to participate in this growth of greater accuracy along the way. God wants to help us to become far more docile to his own inspirations. And one of the ways that those who are, for example, gifted in eloquence and intellect really need help is to make it more and more simple and practical. Because again, it's not about what we know, but about how we're walking in Christ's footsteps by Christ's own power. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit wants to help us to grow the most, one of the ways in which it's so urgent for us to grow in accuracy of our understanding and living the faith Jesus points to in today's gospel. We have today's gospel because it follows the sequence of the Last Supper, which is what the church follows in Easter. It also talks very much at the end about the ascension of the Lord. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father, that we continue to ponder in these days after the 40th, when Christ ascended in heaven. But what I really want to ponder is what he said about the work of the Holy Spirit in helping us to grasp and live what's here. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but I will tell you clearly about the Father. He's going to do this by the gift of the Holy Spirit. On that day you will ask in my name, and I don't tell you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you loved me and have come to believe that I came from the Father into the world. I came from God. The Holy Spirit's principal work is to incorporate us into Jesus' own sonship, so that we might cry out for real, Abba, Father. That's the love poured into our hearts. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit have to do with this relation to the Father and the strength we need in order to help others to grow more accurately in this relation to the Father. The Holy Spirit's principal work is to help us to recognize that the Father indeed loves us, that Jesus loves us just as much as the Father loves him, and that the whole way of Christianity is this way of love, having been loved this much by God himself. The Father loves us so much that he doesn't even spare his own Son, but hands us over for us all. That Christ himself, freely as the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for us when we're lost. And then together they send the Holy Spirit to help us to fulfill all that work so that we can have the divine indwelling within. How much God loves us in letting us be called children of God. And that's just the start, because we're not just called, but we really are. And we're going to grow. And this is the way to greater accuracy in the faith by the power of this Holy Spirit. We sing in the Veni Creator Spiritus. Pirtesiamus da Patrem. Nos camus adque filium. Teutriusque Spiritum credamus omni tempore. Through you, we know the Father and the Son who is risen for us, and you, Holy Advocate, and we believe this. We inhere. We totally entrust ourselves to this reality at all time, in every second. Today, God doesn't just send us Priscilla and Aquila. He comes himself to lead us more deeply into this mystery and help us with this childlike, receptive wisdom to go out and lead the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.